people. Welcome to episode 26 of Off Color Cast. This is a segmented podcast that likes to focus on the aggressive, the awesome, and the serious. See, if you had been recording the first take, I did it fine.
Yeah.
But no, that one's gone forever.
Forever.
All right, so we like to talk about EDH. I'm Chris. I like to talk about EDH. Let's talk to the other guys. Cassidy, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode. It's sort of a special episode, kinda. I don't know. Anyways, check out the articles on TCG Player. There will be another one up, as per usual. And I think that's all for now, so let's just move this party onwards.
All right, let's move it onwards indeed. Calvin, say what up.
What up? This is Calvin, also known as Captain Virgin on the Internet. Seeing as we're on episode 26 now, I figured I'd let you guys know real quick that if you swing over by the site, you can actually get a chance to read a few articles by our boy John, which will be up this past Monday. He's continuing his Ravnica Guild thing. We also have a new thing on there that allows a Twitch account to, what's that, Beardy Plays?
Yeah.
And this Friday, we will have another article up by a listener, Jason, who was writing to us about a tag team concept that he wanted us to print up for him. So I was like,
that old poopard?
Yeah, he was responsible for last week's episode. So if you guys didn't like that, you'll really like his article.
Well, fuck y'all, because that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And, you know, since last week's episode was basically just wrestling, we decided we wanted to talk about magic again, so we bring in the guy who's less special every time he comes on. Say hello to Sean Patchen.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sean, or Swords to Plow, for anybody who follows me online, and you can watch me fade further and further into obscurity nowadays.
Now, you know, I mean, if we keep polishing the turd, the luster comes off.
Hey, on the Mythbusters, they actually did polish a turd, and it looked pretty good.
Just all right, that sounds like a good way to end the intro.
Just saying.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, well, well. If it isn't time for Chris's stupid card thing, here on Off Color.
Rose, we're going to be talking about Pygmy Hippo.
Pygmy Hippo.
God, I love that card. I've always wanted to play with it. I just never got around to it.
I don't know. Let me go ahead and set these damn parameters.
It's like, I love the concept of this card, but I can't actually play with it.
Right, exactly.
Unless you're playing with someone who's really dumb.
Yeah, if you're playing with retards. I'm sorry. If you're playing with butts. Because apparently those are the same thing, right, Christian?
Kinda.
Retarded butts.
Yeah. If you're playing with the slower individuals, they don't know what to do, and you get some great benefits.
You know, I think the Oracle text actually makes me remember it differently, because, let's see here. I'm going to bring up the old-school version that was printed in Visions, because, like, I'm reading it, and I'm like, I don't remember this being the wording here.
A creature, Hippo, whenever Pygmy Hippo attacks and isn't blocked.
Yeah, we can read it out loud for the people. They'll need it.
Okay.
I will be. All right, I think we can just start it.
Okay.
Hey, beautiful people, time for your favorite segment of mine. It's my stupid card thing. This week, we have a card from Visions. Cassidy, do I have a lot of cards from, like, the Mirage block? I feel like I'm looking at a Mirage card every time we do this.
Well, I would complain, except for it's probably where Magic started getting really cool, so I think it's just natural, honestly. The cards are stupid, but they're still pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So this week, we're looking at a creature, Pygmy Hippo. One blue, one green, for a 2/2... Hippopotamus, which they've changed to creature type hippo, because I guess hippopotamus was too awesome. I'm just going to read the Oracle text, because the old text reads like old text, and, you know, is weird. Whenever Pygmy Hippo attacks and isn't blocked, you may have defending player activate a mana ability of each land he or she controls and empty his or her mana pool. If you do, Pygmy Hippo assigns no combat damage this turn, and at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you add X to your mana pool, where X is the amount of mana emptied from defending player's mana pool this way. Okay, so right off the bat, to ever get the mana, you got to be playing with someone pretty dumb. Because they'll probably just tap all their lands beforehand.
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, what would be really sweet is if they decide to do it during the declare block. Actually, no. Because they wouldn't be able to try to do it before this thing would trigger. And even if they did it, like, before the trigger, I think the mana is still in their mana pool that round, so you could take it, theoretically.
No, because mana...
Yeah, it's only if it empties that way, yeah.
Oh, it's only if it empties that way? Oh, yeah, duh.
And then also, it empties in between each phase in combat instead of just the whole combat.
Yeah.
So each step, like, cleans out the pool, right?
Well, I mean, when it's talking about that way, that just means the emptying of the mana pool from the hippo, right? Because the activating a mana ability and draining the mana pool are two separate things. So if they have, like, Almnath...
Yeah.
And they're just sitting with all that mana, you can probably just take it all, right?
Yeah, that's good against Omnath. I will give you that. That's pretty awesome.
It's like a mana drain hippo without countering the spell.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Power Sync 2.
Okay, but that'll happen once every billion times you play. So, most of the other times you're just getting a guy to tap to their lands, so you gotta sort of branch out and combo Pygmy Hippo with other wonderful cards that are good against lands being tapped, like Desolation, if you want to go bug. I've got a few others, but I figure I'll let you guys say your first thoughts on the Pygmy Hippo here.
I'll put it right here. Of course, this is one of the worst cards I've seen you bring up. But
Nightshade Seer?
I don't listen to every episode.
You listen to one episode.
But yeah, the ones with me on it, I'll listen to that because I love the sweet sound of my own voice.
Yeah, we used to be like that.
But, you know, for only two mana for a 2-2, stopping people from casting things during your second main phase, I guess, isn't the worst ability in the world. I mean, in Legacy, they use the 1-1 flyer for one that does almost the exact same thing, or the equivalent. It's just they can't just kill it as easily as they can kill this thing off. So,
yeah, I guess I don't know. I like Pygmy Hippo better than Xanadu's Swarm.
Okay, so seeing as I'm going to end up just saying something real quick about this. If you actually combine this card with Upwelling and mana pools don't empty at the end of the step, you can then actually use the hippo as a way to just continuously empty people's mana pools where they tapped in mana or not.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Upwelling actually is a global effect. Yeah, that's right. So that's kind of what we were talking about with Omnath, only, like, much more on point.
And it's also, and Upwelling is also green, so you can actually play it in the same deck with the Pygmy Hippo without having to go into a different color, other than whatever you would have to play would be, like, blue-green, at least, because you need the hippo and the Upwelling.
I think you slot him right into Edric, then.
I like him in Edric. I was actually thinking he'd be funny in, like Winter Orb, Stasis, or like Borinclex type decks where you you're forcing them to tap their lands for mana even if they didn't want to. But it doesn't seem like he'd be, you know, it's like you're already playing Stasis, so like the Pygmy Hippo was just this like dumb little thing you have in there.
Another card.
I really like, I think I was talking to Christian about this earlier when he mentioned this card. Price of Glory, if you're playing it in a rug deck, is absolutely amazing. Because they get the choice of giving you all their mana or sacrificing all their lands. If you don't know what Price of Glory is, because I'm assuming most people haven't seen this card, it's a 2-colorless, 1-red enchantment that says whenever a player taps a land for mana during another player's turn, destroy that land. So that's always a good one to go with.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I would say that he does have a good home in Rug, because then you can run that. And if you're lame, you can run Mana Barbs. And I also like it because if you drop down Urborg, you can make them tap all their stupid utility lands, too. If they've got any that don't tap for mana, you can still make them tap them. Which isn't going to do a lot of good because, I mean, oh no, like they weren't going to tap their Maze of If anyway or something, but... Ooh, they could tap their Maze of If to keep your Pygmy Hippo from hitting you, though.
I mean, we can't forget, though, that we're talking about...
Attack first.
We can't forget that we're talking about, like, you know, multiplayer games in a lot of cases. So, like, forcing someone to tap out with just this stupid little hippie thing, you know, that could be really, really brutal if, like, there's two other players that have to take a turn and that player was really counting on hitting, you know... whatever, like a rewind or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is that to it. But I'm having a lot of trouble. I always thought this thing was cool, but then when you guys are like, well, just tap mana first, like, oh, damn, I suck at this game.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it basically just says tap all your opponent's lands, but that's still not the worst thing in the world, right? Yeah. I mean, it is just a hate bear when it comes down to it. And, like, if you're playing Edric, just having another 2-2 for 2 that has a quasi-relevant ability, like, you're not going to cast anything in your first main phase anyways. So as long as you're casting things in the second after you swing and draw cards, then this just means you swing at the blue player and they can't counter whatever you're doing.
Yeah. It's especially awesome if the blue player's to your right.
Yeah.
Because then they've got, if you're in a four-player game, they've got all the dudes that now get to do whatever they want. I do want to mention one of my top 10 cards is wonderful with this, Storm Cauldron.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking with the fucking thing, you know what I mean? Winter Orb and shit, yeah.
And I was looking for other cards that you'd want to swing with it. If you were in Rug again, we could swing with Palamud.
Okay. Spell that.
Which, P-A-L-L-I-M-U-D.
Ah, I see.
It's okay. It's a star three. You pick an opponent, its power is equal to the tap lands the chosen player controls.
Storm Cauldron, yeah, I'm on board with that. I'm not so sure about Palamud.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's tech, right? I mean, that's what we're looking for, even if it's kind of like, whatever.
Quote-unquote tech.
Yeah, quote-unquote.
Okay, so we're going to be using, like, really horrible cards that force opponents to tap their lands. Then I'm going to have to actually mention probably one of the worst cards ever printed, which would have to be Piracy. It's a blue-blue sorcery. Until end of turn, you may tap lands you don't control for mana. Spend this mana only to cast spells. But seeing as how it basically, in order to use this effect, you have to be able to tap lands yourself, but your opponents usually end up tapping them out anyway. Because it doesn't allow you to take the mana from their pool. It basically lets you use their, not tap their lands. You know, that doesn't say anything about taking some mana from the mana pools.
Yeah, Mana Burn made these cards a lot better.
Yeah.
Like Fashion was telling me earlier.
Yeah.
But the thing is that with Piracy, if you used Piracy, then your opponents would have a reason to tap all their lands out. And the Hippo could actually be able to attack and just do two. Or if you
that was your plan.
No, actually my plan was using this with the other creature you were talking about, where it gets like...
Oh yeah, the Palamud.
Because I was looking at Piracy and I was like, yeah, this is a horrible card. I'm pretty sure you would probably end up liking it, Chris. But if we're going through the process of actually talking about like a blue-green deck designed to tap out lands or force your opponents to open their mana pools open so you can actually be able to empty them out however you feel, Piracy would be a good card to actually use because it kind of makes it so that if the opponent that doesn't tap his land in the response to this can give you mana without, just for, you know, ignorance. The opponents that sees it coming actually all tap their mana out, but then their pools end up emptying anyway.
Okay, I just actually figured it out. We need to turn about their lands during the damage step. So even if they tap out during the previous step of combat, we'll turn about all their lands, and then either way, even if they tap the lands to put them into the mana pool, it's still going to get sucked up by the hippo if I read it right, because emptying the pool isn't the same thing, right? So there we go.
Yeah, but remember, the hippo's trigger is only during the attack step.
Well,
and it's only mana emptied that way.
Oh, and it isn't blocked. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, you could still...
Well, I mean, wouldn't that be during the block step then?
Yeah. So it won't be blocked. When is a creature isn't blocked after the attack step or after the block step?
After the block step.
After the block. Yeah, so I mean, if they tap out... tap all their lands like during the previous step, and then you pass into this, and his trigger goes on the stack. You turn about their lands, so they'll have no choice but to basically have you eat all the lands. But then again, I mean, using turnabout on your opponent's lands is kind of stupid when you can just like, win with it and shit. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to think.
One thing I did want to talk about before we get to the thumbs is that did you notice how the older cards like this, where they all had these abilities and they usually had the zero mana symbol. Like, you know, if they would do damage to a player, you can do this instead, and then they don't deal damage.
Yeah.
But these days, Wizards is like, nah, they can do damage too, and still just do whatever they were gonna do.
Deal damage comes into play or swings, whatever.
Yeah.
It all works
out. It's gonna do.
I will say, if you really want to tap down opponent's lands and play a good card, or at least a card that's better than this, I would definitely suggest Nature's Will over this card every day of the week.
Yeah, you're right. Nature's Will kind of makes this card stupid. also, the Helix, is it, right? That's the thing that pays X tap to tap X lands, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Misha's Helix.
Misha's Helix, thank you. Yeah, I used that a lot in Omnath in the early days, and that's really brutal when you have a lot of mana and a Seedborn Muse in play, so...
I think Nature's Will is obviously just them trying to make Pygmy Hippo better.
Yeah. It's too bad they didn't just make him better.
Is Nature's Will, like, the best card out of the Kamigawa sets besides, like, Jit?
Kiki Jiki.
Or Top?
I'm not counting Top.
No. Or Kiki Jiki, yeah. There's some better stuff.
I don't know. Yosei's pretty good.
Well, I guess Kokusho's pretty good.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. We could actually be here for a while.
Yeah.
But Nature's Will is still very good.
You notice that snakes on it, though. The Kamigawa snakes might be some of my favorite cards in the set. So this one counts to that, too.
What's with the white hair, though, on that guy? He looks like Doc Brown in the back.
I've been
frozen today.
They both have white hair. They're just very stressed.
I guess so.
Cassidy, thumbs up or thumbs down?
All right. Well, I mean, I basically have to give it a thumbs up. Like, I have a fun nostalgia for this guy. The thing is, I wouldn't run him, but I'm still going to give him a thumbs up just because, like, I don't want him, like, knocking on my door and being like, you didn't give me a thumbs up. And I think Feldegriff would be pissed off if I didn't do so. I think that's his homie.
Sean, I'm pretty sure I know where you're going with this, but thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, I think outside of Hippo Tribal, I'm going to have to give this one a thumbs down.
Okay, now I got to find out how viable
this is. Yeah, now we're... Well, you guys are looking elsewhere, but I'm going the real deal and looking on Gatherer.
Yeah, I know.
How many hippos there are.
There's only three. There's only two. One of them's a hippogriff.
Oh.
It's just Pygmy Hippo and Bull Hippo. That's it.
I don't know. Bull Hippo's pretty sweet. I think he's got good synergy with Pygmy Hippo.
I know we were going to talk about art later. That one's probably got to be brought up for that. Look how they changed that art from, like, a recognizable hippo to a Picasso hippo right there.
Which one's a Picasso hippo? Oh,
the 7th edition. Like, okay. Look at Portal first. It looks like a real thing. And then it looks like a little kid drew it.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember the saga. Yeah, the saga art is the one I remember. That's pretty cool.
Okay, and Calvin, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Even though this card does have the word when it attacks on it, like, that does kind of, like, you know, play to the soft spot in my heart. But literally, I look at this and there's no way I could actually see myself wanting to play it. Unless, of course, we were to, like, unless I was just trying to troll people and build, like, a tap your mana out deck. But even then, I'm pretty sure I could find something that it might get a slot in that particular deck if I'm just being a douche. But I probably would spend most of my time preferring just to, like, you know, bring them life points to zero and then to try to empty people's mana pools out.
And
so I'm giving it a down.
Every now and then, you might run into the guy who doesn't realize he can just tap his lands.
Yeah. Like, that card's good.
Maybe you can go against really, yeah. It's really good, man. Oh, yeah, or you play against Cassidy.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it. I'm going to give it 2.5 thumbs down, because Cassidy was pretty flaccid on that one.
Yeah.
So, if you're a real man, maybe run Bull Hippo. I mean, Pygmy Hippo.
Yeah, run Bull Hippo. Do not. Like, you heard it here. Chris said it himself.
No way. Pygmy Hippo is awesome. So you run the Pygmy Hippo and you have a good old time. Later. Bam. Done.
Nice.
Not a baby part, and I was like, did y'all just hear that part? No. That was actually kind of loud. And no one said anything about me asking about it. So I'm assuming
we didn't even hear you ask it, so no, we didn't.
Everyone, for a little bit of dose of real magic for today, we're going to talk about the red-headed stepchild of the Commander universe, and that's Mono Red, and how you can get Mono Red to try to draw to keep up with the rest of the class. I think most people have heard of the Wheel of Fortune effects. You got Wheel of Fortune, Memory Jar, Reforge the Soul, Nullspine Dragon and Dragon Mage. Today we're going to go into a little more of the specialized cards and some of the niche ways you can make red actually get through the deck.
Are we just going to talk mono red then, or like?
Yeah, I think just mono red. Okay. Otherwise, there's so many ways to get around in multicolor.
Yeah. Like add blue.
Yeah.
Really add any color. Every other color has something that can at least help red out. Like even if you just add white for land tax, you get the enchantment tutors and things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'll go ahead and start off, then. I'll be kind of basic. It's not kind of the way that Sean was necessarily going, but I definitely like the Well of Lost Knowledge. I think. Let me make sure I got that right. I'm sorry, Well of Lost Dreams, where if you gain life, you can pay X to draw X cards. Now, red doesn't have a lot of life gaining abilities. Most of them actually cause damage to itself. But there are colorless ways to do it, especially equipment, which comes into play with Godo. So that's kind of where I wanted to go first when it came to card drawing. It's just kind of like using Godo to gain life and then draw cards with Well of Lost Dreams. There are other equipment as well that'll help you draw cards. For instance, Infiltration Lens, although, you know, not that great. But still, it's kind of cool in red because it's got a low curve and you can put it on some goblins, you know, that are going to die anyways or whatever. So, that's my first thought, because I just wanted to bring that up, I guess, because I don't think Sean's going to bring it up.
Actually, I was going to bring that card up.
Nice.
I was talking to Magrini a while back. I don't know if you listened to him on CommanderCast talk about his mono-red life gain deck, but that's like one of the linchpins of the deck there. He came to me a while ago asking if I even thought mono-red life gain was possible, and it ends up being mostly mono-brown for like Jite and Sword of Light and Shadow, and Luxon and Warhammer and et cetera.
Sure.
But you actually can get a decent amount of life gain just because of the equipment. And Well of Lost Dreams ends up being amazing. Like anytime you remove a Jite counter, being able to pay four and draw four cards in red is kind of out of this world for a color that doesn't get to do that very often. And it was going to kind of bring me to the point that when you want to draw with red, you don't just throw in a card that works like other colors. Like blue, you can just put in blue Sun Zenith or Consecrated Sphinx. In green, you can just throw in, you know, Harmonize, and you just get cards. Red doesn't have that ability, so you really have to build your deck and build around the theme that lets you draw cards. So if you're playing Goblins or something, you're going to want to play Skull Clamp or something that lets you draw when creatures go to the graveyard, because you're going to be sacrificing those Goblins or chump blocking with those Goblins all the time. Same thing, Well of Lost Dreams. If you're going to play an equipment deck that has a decent amount of life gain, you can throw that in there. Put a little more life gain in than you normally would and get some extra card draw off of it.
Well, hey, Calvin, do you want to bring up the filtering as opposed to drawing thing real quick? Or?
Okay. Yeah, real quick. While we're here in the process of talking about it early on, just to let your listeners know, there's a big difference between drawing cards and hand filtering. Like the wheel effects, basically, like we were discussing, Wheel of Fortune, is basically no matter what, unless you actually have like eight plus cards in hand, a Wheel of Fortune is going to draw you at least one card. Whereas if you use a card like, say, Faithless Looting is not really drawing you cards, even though it does say draw two cards, because it pretty much draws you two cards, forces you to discard two cards, and then you basically filter your hand. Your hand numbers don't really go up. It just basically is the same amount, but just better cards in it. There's also other effects like this, like cycling, that kind of are just like, you know, hand filtering. They're not really drawing you cards or really netting you much. It's basically like, oh, this card is worthless at this point in time. Let me pay two and get rid of it. And even those are basically kind of costing you mana, because it's not getting you an extra card. It's just changing your hand a little and making you pay X mana, where it's probably like 2 mana or whatever the original casting cost for it is. But when we're talking about card draw, we mean like cards that actually like gain you an actual like extra card, or a card that doesn't affect for you and actually gets you a chance to draw get something. Like something like Smash, I would count as a card draw, because it's basically just destroy target artifact, draw a card. But it's pretty much a red instant spell that destroys another card and draws a card for you, so it kind of pays for itself, in a way.
Oh, absolutely. I would definitely count that one, at least as card advantage, if nothing else. Yeah, I think with the red, more so than other colors, you really want to look for those cantrip effects. They're not very common, but if you can get them in there, Smash is probably the perfect example for it, just to keep going through your deck, because you're going to run out of gas in red more than anything else. It's a very low curve color, very aggressive color. You don't want to be holding much back. So, yeah, anything that can give you another card while doing something, I would count as card draw as well, even though it's, I guess, technically netting yourself zero cards. It's just replacing the card you used.
I also wanted to bring up real quick Squee, Goblin Nabob, who's actually able to make like not Blasphemous Sack, but Faithful Saluting. It'll actually make it kind of like a card advantage. So since red, I mean, that's one of red's few really good like reanimation cards. You know, red doesn't have a lot of cool tricks like that. So I just wanted to bring him up real quick when we were talking about the filtering cards. But now we can keep talking about card draw.
Well, I mean, that's a good point to bring up, because red actually does have the cycle of phoenixes that go through. They either return to the battlefield or return to your hand. So if you're using something, say, like Skull Clamp or the Wheel of Fortune effects, anything that is letting you grab cards from your graveyard, it's going to be huge, because red doesn't just give you straight card draw. You're going to have to ditch some things or sacrifice some things. So anything you can replay or put back in your hand seems like a great effect. I would say, especially the goblins that do it, Goblin Welder is another huge one that in red just becomes so useful. Anytime you do a memory jar or a wheel or anything like that to get through your deck, being able to grab that stuff you discarded and put it back onto the battlefield or put it back in your hand, I think you just need those kind of effects in red, however many you can put in there, really.
I just mentioned Hammerable Garden real quick, so that sounds pretty good. I was just thinking of that, because you can do the same thing. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. The next one I wanted to bring up just because, or actually, Christian, do you have anything to say?
I've got a few things, but, like, first Incendiary Command makes me mad. But why can't it just have a wheel effect tacked on there instead of only drawing me as many cards as I have?
Yeah, that command, like, is just balls, man. It's so bad.
I run it, man.
Yeah, it's but compared to the other commands, it's kind of like oh look, red gets shafted again. They're like,
you can do, four damage to target player.
Even if it was just Chandra's ability, where it was discard and everybody draws three,
yeah,
it would have been better, because at least then you can screw somebody out of their 20 card hand that they got with Praetor's Counsel.
Why does it need to be Wasteland? I mean, like, come on. So boring.
Why is it 5 mana?
Yeah. If that would have been like Incinerate mana, that thing would have been really good.
So how much of a red, mono red, well, mostly brown with, I guess probably 50-50. It's a very muddy red deck. How much of that do you devote to card draw and still have ways to kill people with mono red?
I would say as much as possible. Personally, since red has little to no tutoring effects outside of looking for goblins or looking for equipment with Godo, I put in a lot of things. I'll put in a lot of the little cantrips and stuff to make up for it. Like Mind Stone, even if I'm doing goblins, I'll put in stuff like Slate of Ancestry. Since you're not gonna tutor for the pieces that help you draw, and there's no way to tutor for your answers, you need to give yourself a pretty good stack of them in there to make sure you get them.
Damn, I was going to say Slate of Ancestry later.
That's right, Cassidy. I'll leave Seer's Sundial to you.
Oh, yeah, I hate that card so much. It's going to be awesome. No, I'm just joking. All right, so, yeah, you didn't miss anything going. Well, I wanted to talk about Slate of Ancestry, so we could talk about that a little bit more. There's actually a lot of cool tribes you can do with red, and Slate of Ancestry isn't necessarily even tribal, it's just like tokens, you know, just a mount of creatures, and goblins is fun, you know, but there's a lot of different things you can do. If nothing else, you can just run Cure Keep and make a ton of kobolds and just get so much value out of a bunch of little 0/1 tokens. So Slate of Ancestry is actually one of my favorite cards to play in a red deck that's running creatures, because you discard your hand, I mean, you're playing red, so you're going to burn through your hand anyways. We already talked about how you run out of gas really fast. So it's not even that big of a downgrade. And if you only have, if you have no cards or, like, one card in hand, discarding one card to draw, like, even only three or four cards because you have a few creatures out it's still pretty worth it for four colorless mana. So I think Slate of Ancestry is pretty good for red decks here. You don't play that card in Risk or something, Calvin?
What was that again?
Slate of Ancestry.
Slate of Ancestry.
What's that do again?
Like regal force. It's like a regal force for every color. It's amazing, and you can use it every turn. Four mana, draw as many cards as creatures you have.
I don't think I have that.
Yeah, you should probably start using that one.
With as much pitching as we do, though, I sometimes will just run the stupid Eldrazi for the Gaia's Blessings that they do when they hit the yard.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Just for the many reloads you're going to get, because you're going to be wheeling all the time anyway, and some of those cards you might need to cast later.
Yeah, and you also want to get your wheels back. I mean, you want to be digging through your deck and burning people and burning through your cards as much as possible. I mean, you are red. Things that shuffle your graveyard in are very valuable. The Eldrazi just made it so you didn't have to have as many slots in there.
And also, they're really good finishers for late game. Like, Ulamog can be, like, one of the worst things to see when everyone's, like, really tapped out on resources. So, I mean, it's never a bad idea to be packing at least one creature that's going to make everyone shit their pants, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can also toss those Eldrazis just late. Toss the Eldrazis, shuffle your graveyard back into your library, then draw cards equal to creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems strong. You don't really lose much right there.
Yeah.
So.
No, like, unless, of course, you're playing, like, a graveyard deck, then, like, you know, completely forget I said that. And then if you're playing a graveyard deck, why the fuck do you have Eldrazi in your deck?
I figured I'd mention the Eldrazi because they're a good example, but would you run Elixir of Immortality?
Probably not.
Well, it goes pretty good with the Well of Lost Dreams, though. Sort of, so.
Yeah, I guess if you're playing Well of Lost Dreams, it's another life gainer that does what you need it to.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I don't know. It's just not that important to me. There's a number of other effects that'll shuffle your graveyard. As you said, as long as you have the Eldrazis that double up as finishers, really do like those. I think it brings up an important point is when you're trying to do card draw with red, you don't want to fight against what red is doing. You don't want to try to find ways to cheat around and get drawing, like doing something like Sensei's Divining Top and Rings of Bright Hearth. You're going to end up paying 3 mana per card. Instead, what you want to do is you want to just go with the flow of red. You know you're going to cast Wheel of Fortune, so you want something that gives you even more advantage from that. So one of my favorite cards to play in red decks nowadays is Geth's Grimoire. And I haven't seen anybody play it, so I will read it for the audience. Basically, Geth's Grimoire is an artifact. It costs 4 colorless. It says whenever an opponent discards a card from his or her hand, you may draw a card. And it works very, very well. You Wheel of Fortune, you get a lot of cards. You get the 7 you were planning on, and if you're playing with 4 people, you get the 21 cards that they were not planning on a red deck ever getting off of a 3 mana spell. So, it also works well with the equipment. And now that we have Sword of Feast and Famine, every time you hit somebody with that Sword of Feast and Famine, they discard a card, you draw a card, so it becomes, an easy decision which one to grab over Sword of Feast and Famine and Sword of Fire and Ice at that point.
Or Sword of Light and Shadow even, because that gains you life straight up, right? So
yeah, and returns a card from a graveyard. Sword of Light and Shadow. Almost all the swords seem to be good with red.
Yeah.
It's because they're all
one
doing things.
Just makes creatures.
They're all doing things that red can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, which is amazing, even the red sword. Well, the Sword of War and Peace with the Well of Lost Dreams draws you 6 cards.
I think that's the only time I would feel guilty. I'm not guilty about running swords is in mono red, unless I was Godo, and then I'd probably still feel bad about it.
Oh, you need to Mox Ruby in that deck too. Just bringing that out there. Legalize it.
That was actually going to be one of my next questions. Is which mono red generals do you think really lend themselves more to this sort of style? Probably ones that don't really need a lot of support from your deck to play, because then you're not wasting slots looking for general synergy, as opposed to just being good.
I think
go ahead.
It's the same red decks, the red generals that are good in general. So people like Kiki who don't really who are just good with everything, or Godo, who can go find either the cards to draw or the cards to win. But those are the same red generals that are better anyways. So I think if you're looking at card draw, any red general really needs it.
Yeah, you can even use Geeky to... If you slot in Silent Simulacrum and you use Geeky Geeky, you could actually get the land search and the draw, so...
Yeah, there you go.
Like, you know, just have your legendary... Get your general basically becomes tap, get a token, get a land. If the token dies, draw a card, right?
Which it will at the end of turn.
And it will. End of turn.
Fine.
And it has haste, right? So yeah, like, yeah, play that token, put that land in, swing with that token. Oh, you're gonna block it? No, let's take that too, let it die. Draw me a card. Awesome.
Yeah, Kiki Jiki's awesome.
Try that soon.
You know, it's kind of funny though, because we're talking about mono red card draw, but a lot of this could go in really any deck that, like, you want, like,
except
to draw cards.
Blue.
Well, yeah, I mean, Blue has its own things going on, but I was just thinking of my Karabekh deck a lot, because I use a lot of the Guest Grimoire, which I've seen before, but for some reason I forgot about. Like, that would be awesome in my Karabekh deck. So, like, you know, we are talking about mono red specifically. I think that a lot of this stuff can be used in other decks that are non blue or non green, because, you know, the card draw is obvious in those colors. I just wanted to bring that up, especially because that's where I got the idea for Well of Lost Dreams. That card's awesome in black-red, and I think Grest Grimoire will be too. So I think I'm going to put that in Karabekh. Yay.
Yeah, these also would be really great for just white as well, because white is the other color that doesn't really get draw. I mean, it gets tutor effects, but it doesn't really get, like, draw effects.
You can draw all the planes you want.
Yeah, you can search them planes out, put them on top, draw that card.
I actually need a Slate of Ancestry for Darien. I don't have one for that. Come to think of it,
Slate of Ancestry just shows my lack of wanting to read, because I actually have this card and I never actually looked at it. I'm like, oh, look at this.
You probably read this card in your hand and like, fuck this.
I guess, like, you know, in my mind's eye or something, I was searching for the word attack and I didn't see it and I just left.
By the way, talking about good card draw spells, yeah, Mind's Eye doesn't work for almost any other color combination, but mono red, or I guess mono white as well. Mind's Eye, great.
There
great
you
card
go.
To have.
Yeah.
I always just liked hoping somebody ran Groupug for my mono red card draw. Like, you can play all those Fawn of Mythosis you want.
Well, if you're playing Guest Grimoire, you can play Anvil of Bogardin for everyone. Draw an extra card, discard. Look, you get a loot through.
And I'm just, don't mind me over here. I mean, sure I drew five cards, but they're five red cards. What am I going to do to you?
You know what I love to play in red that doesn't seem obvious is Diviner's Wand, which is generally a blue card to have.
It's an anybody. It's a every color card.
Yeah, every color, but really who actually plays it outside of Azami. I love playing it because you just equip it to some little dork like the kobold from Care Keep, then cast the Wheel of Fortune and have it get +7/+7. It feels so good.
I put it on Godo. I don't care.
Well, there's plenty of good red wizards, too. I think red has probably the second or third best selection of wizards, too. So, I mean, it's pretty good in red anyways, like, even though it seems like it's a blue card. I actually have this in another deck, but I kind of like that in the red deck that we're talking about here. Wow.
So lately, because of Sean, though, I'm pretty sure my favorite card to run in mono-red is still Scarecrown, because it's so versatile for doing
Scarecrown
anything.
Scarecrown is the best.
Yeah.
So good.
It really is.
I cannot think of a bad thing to say about that card. It's like, what do you have to run for Scarecrown to be good? Another artifact creature.
Yeah, anything.
And even then, it can cantrip through itself if you really need it.
Oh.
If you play it with a Sculpting Steel, it's awesome. If you Sculpting Steel it, then you sacrifice it to itself and have the Sculpting Steel copy keep bringing it back. It's slow, but if you really need the card draw, it can keep going through.
And you can get the Skull Clamp on it.
Yeah, exactly. You draw three at a time, all the time in Godo. And then, of course, if you have a Nim Death Mantle out, you can just have it bring itself back.
I don't run it.
Yeah.
In red.
But who runs Nim Death Mantle in any deck?
Well, I know. It's like, man, that's a secret tech there.
Yeah,
nobody's
that card's so
that
bad.
Card.
It's so, like, if it mentions that it's going to make something on my board that color, though, I won't run it unless it's black.
Oh,
Fair like, enough, I need to I have guess. Black in my Nim Death Mantle decks or I won't run it. I'm a retard, I know.
I mean, it's on theme, but that card's good.
Death Mantle was bad, Cassidy?
Oh, that's
I was being facetious.
Like, the Throne of Ages, the one that makes tokens?
Yeah, the Throne of Empires.
Throne of Empires, since it makes white tokens, I won't run it except if there's white in the deck.
Yeah, I mean...
Not that I should be running Throne of Ages anyway, but...
Yeah, I put it in my Darien deck with the other two pieces.
That's because he's the king.
Yeah, and also, they're not great, but they're all sort of good in Darien. I mean, you can deal one damage to yourself to make a soldier... Tap to make some more soldiers, and then gain control of a creature. And then you're like, who's the king? Who's the king?
Somebody else.
Yeah, no. I'm the empire, emperor, and the king. Darien emperor of everyone.
You'll see here. Two balls.
What?
Two balls, just being blooded. Actually, I was talking with, Jackson from Shield of War and Peace. Mm. And we were talking about comparing Tibble versus Faithless Looting. And he was talking about, he was basically saying he thinks that that Faithless Looting is better than Tibble because you get to use it twice and it's a spell that draws you two cards and discards two cards because of the filtering. Because I'm currently, thinking more of the filter process instead of the actual drawing in red. Mm-hmm. Because red, yes, it does draw, but it needs to draw a lot. But most of its draws are going to come from artifact. And red is actually starting to get a lot more card filtering with things like Ramaging Goblin, Tibble, that Mad Prophet from whatchamacallit. And the other thing, what the hell was it? Nothing, Sean. Literally, once you left, we just rambled, and now we're talking about more Raiden filters, because I happen to just start talking.
I think Tibble, the discard at random thing is totally different from Faithless Looting. I think Tibble is kind of funny because he's so bad. I'm only saying that because I don't know if he is good, you know what I mean? But when I see him every time, I'm just like, this guy's going to be so cool. No, never mind, he sucks.
I feel like players better than me must have figured out how to use him at some point, but I haven't seen anybody else use him at all. So whoever those good players are, they're somewhere else.
He was definitely he's the only one one-off printed planeswalker that basically was $5 when he came out. You know,
Everyone was like, yeah.
Well, but you've got the fair insurrection on him, so you're like, it's okay, guys, it's coming.
Yeah,
and nobody's. And you'll get there. You'll get there. Oh shit! That's right. Tibble has ability that isn't shitty.
Because the thing that I looked at Tibble was the only deck I could even think about putting him in was slotting him into Ashling and 98 Mountains. So that way, when you do a draw a card and discard a card, you really don't give a damn what you're discarding. But even then, I was like, I think I'd prefer to keep the mountain.
Yeah.
My mono red deck has a bunch of reanimation, and I still don't run them just because of the not being able to select what you're discarding is so bad.
Yeah.
That's why it's so good to Wheel of Fortune somebody else, especially those blue combo players.
I mean, you can play Gamble for one red, and that's the risk I would take to discard a card at random. You know what I mean? not just drawing a card, you know, so...
I love Gamble. It's my favorite tutor.
It's
because I'm an idiot.
It's good for getting your general back when he's tucked. Because either way, you're gonna be back.
Maybe you just pitch him. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, were there any finishing points you want? Oh wait, Goblin Assault. You didn't mention Goblin Assault yet.
Goblinese.
What else are you gonna do with that one Goblin Assault token you get every turn? Except put him on a Skull Clamp.
Oh, Clamp.
Skull Clamp.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes along with all of the rest of Mono Red's, pretty good token generation. Mm-hmm. I know I love to run, even though this also isn't a Mono Red card, my Mono Red decks are almost all brown. Pentavis. Love Pentavis. Mm-hmm. He does so much.
I don't know about you, but I tend to steer clear of running Goblin Assault if I'm actually in Goblins. Unless I'm being awesome.
Yeah. that's got you got a pair of balls if you're having to attack with your Siege Gang Commander and your
You're like, you know what?
Arms dealer and shit.
Yeah, I'm just going to play like I've got, everyone has telepathy too. You can just look at my hands. Fuck it. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to play goblins and swing at you guys. Krenko, go.
Yeah.
Like, get in there, Krenko. Giving them, like, double them goblins. Let them all go in there.
Well, at least Krenko doesn't have to attack.
Attack yeah. Blue players.
Actually, Krenko probably would be pretty good with it because you could, like, play Krenko.
Because he attacks.
All your goblins would attack, and then while they're attacking, tap Krenko, then double them, then keep your tokens.
It should give all goblins.
Except he would have to attack.
Yeah, so he'd have to attack them.
You'd have to tap him right before they attack.
No, you just give Krenko vigilance and hope they don't block him then.
Yeah.
This is okay. Life's falling apart.
Well, you just play shared animosity and it all works out.
Yeah.
Damn.
Or, what's that shield called? Like, his vigilance and plus 0, plus 3. That way, if they do block him, you know?
It's like a quarter shield or something?
Yeah, quarter shield. There you go. That's the tech we're going to talk about now.
Yeah. What was that card? I've got it. There is a artifact. It has a picture of a gate on it from Larwyn. Like, it prevents damage that would be dealt to creatures.
Oh, Dolmen Gate, right?
Yeah.
I see that used a lot in Kalia. Like, that's a good Kalia.
But you could put that with
Goblins. If only it protected her from that condemn.
Yeah.
I will say that they have given us better things in red as of late, because we just got Faithless Looting, we just got Dangerous Wager, we just got we got the Miracle Wheel.
Yeah.
They've been trying. I think they realize like, oh shit, we have we've got one wizard in this color, and we have Goblin Welder, and we have Kiki Jiki and Sneak Attack, and then nothing else for all the history of Magic.
Yeah.
Because we took Lightning Bolt out of Standard, because that was too good.
Well, they took Mana Leak out, too, so... Yeah.
But they have managed to keep it very, very red. Even with these cards.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot.
Because you print those cards in, like, 17 different versions every other set. Like Shock. Shock version 2 that draws this. Yeah. Shock that does this, but doesn't do it that well.
Yes, set version of Shock. Like Searing Blaze, it's a Shock that does something else. Also, damn it. I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh yeah. Izzet's going to be in the next Ravnica set, and they've spoiled the Izzet charm? Sure the Izzet. Yeah, the Izzet charm, but there's a red spell they spoiled that has, it's like Burst or something, I don't know. People can...
It's Overload.
Yeah, Overload, yeah. I mean, that seems like it'll be pretty fun, because that card already seems awesome, and, if they put it on some really baller-ass cards, it could make red pretty strong.
What you said before, though, I think is right, though, Cassidy. These guild mechanics seem pretty simple.
Yeah.
Like, the ones they've spoiled so far, they're just so boring.
Those scavenge seems cool. I don't know. I'm thinking we're going to dig that a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, but, like, you know, you take it out of the graveyard, you put counters on a dude, it attacks.
Yeah.
I really don't like, on some of the cards I've seen, they don't give the full description of the ability. I don't know if that's just on the spoiled version, but you know it's going to come later. I hate when they introduce new abilities, put the full text on some of the cards that have room for it, and then just be like, Metalcraft, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about.
Just carry around some shitty commons and you'll know.
Or like, yeah. You mean when they type Haunt and then don't put the reminder text next to it? Oh,
God. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or how they never...
You guys saw it the set right before. It's phasing. It just says phasing. You'll understand how that works.
That's bullshit.
Facing's awesome. Anything you want to sum up with, or anything we missed here, Sheen?
Sorry, I finished my beer. I think we basically got everything there. If you play red, use what card draw you can. More likely than not, that's going to be colorless. And like Christian said, when you play red, don't feel bad about playing some of the staples that you would maybe feel guilty about playing in other colors. You're playing mono red, just do what works.
Bam. All right. Now all y'all got left is art.
Yeah. I honestly think that I think they're actually going to end up putting a bunch of because the reason red is actually getting this card draw is because they're taking it slowly away from blue in a way and kind of adding stuff to red to kind of weaken blue and better up the other weaker colors.
They're taking the looting away from blue, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the red looting sucks. Well, that's just me.
Faithless looting's great.
No, I mean, like, the rummaging goblin and stuff where you pitch the card first and then draw.
Well, they're not just going to start with, like, 20 great cards for eternal formats. Like, you can see them doing it. I understand what they're doing. It's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
They can't unbalance it immediately. You can't do another, like, just, oh, we're going to do 5 red praetors. Let's see how this works out.
I think that would be pretty awesome.
I think all 5 of them would somehow suck.
It'd be like Praetor of the Dawn.
And Praetor of the Shit.
I'm wondering who the first hipster planeswalker is going to be. It's obviously going to be blue, but I'm just waiting for the look up.
I think Tybalt.
They already have the emo one.
Tybalt is already the hipster planeswalker because nobody in their right mind would run him.
Yeah. You have to be a hipster.
He's now. Like, if you understood me, you'd run me.
Yeah. He does look pretty. Ah, he has that tall hipster look. Look at the hair. What a huge.
I like Tybalt before he was cool.
Yeah. Wearing skinny jeans? I didn't look that close.
I'm going to check it even more. I got such a small screen. Let's see.
I have a Tybalt.
Okay, well.
And I picked it up because it was in that under $10 order that I made that one time to fill out for the other stuff.
Actually, he's wearing like a Final Fantasy costume, basically. He's such a hipster in that jacket.
Do you guys see the sweet dual deck that's coming out with Life from the Loam in it?
No. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, so is that versus Gregari?
Yeah.
Oh, they
spoiled. I didn't realize that one. Like, I know people were reacting to that. I'm not sure how, because, you know, dropping the phone in the toilet thing, so I didn't pay attention to Twitter. But I'm sure people react the same to this as they do to every reprint, which is half the people go, oh my god, that's sweet. I always wanted more of that card. And the other half go, oh my god, my magic collection is worthless. What shall I ever do?
I don't know. I mean, Life from the Loam's a sweet card, but I still don't want to even pay $10 for it.
Ah,
is that how much it is now?
Yeah, it was 15 like before the deck got announced.
I got it for like 12, I think, a while ago in a big trade. So, yeah, it's been pretty expensive.
The thing about the dual deck, I can actually see myself purchasing it just because I like the fact that the Gruul is basically the dredge deck that you kind of wanted to see, but you're not going to see in Return to Ravnica. Because they're going to have the Scurvy. Scavenge. Whatever that other mechanic is called.
This deck looks awesome. Just it has an awesome Electromancer that's from the new set, and that card's so baller.
He's not as sweet as Goblin Flectomancer was.
Well, you can play both of them. No need. Oh, it's got some deep throating elves too. Awesome.
You're talking about the new goblin that reduces the spells of the cost of instants and sorceries by 1.
Yeah, that guy's so cool.
He has one of the coolest flavor texts I've actually read on a Magic card in a while.
More power. Oh, yeah, there's a sadistic hypnotist in there. Oh, an Ewit, nice. I like this a lot. Yeah, I had to keep
reprinting Ewit, actually, because that one was going up for a while, and now that it's been in the Commander box and some other things, the price is settling at a reasonable level.
It's like about $4 you can usually trade them for.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad. Yeah.
Not that I mind paying prices for cards. I think you guys have seen the decks that I've played on the YouTube channel, but I don't like playing against just terrible, shitty decks all the time.
Yeah.
So it's nice when good cards are cheap so that I don't just have to play against some pile of trash every time I go into the commander table.
Oh, there it is, Life from Loam.
Wait a minute. I always wondered how come Greater Moss Dog doesn't have the Moss Dog ability. It just has Dredge.
Because it's greater?
Yeah. It's above the Moss Dog ability. You know what is better than the Moss Dog ability? Dredge.
Somebody already targeted the Greater Moss Dog twice, and that's why it's bigger. Moss Dog's a 1-1, right? Yeah, it's a 1-1.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You're the only
dude person
who ever plays that.
Moss Dog!
Alright. This box is fucking awesome. I mean, I'm definitely getting this shit. Holy crap. Okay, sorry. Horse Spike, yeah! Okay,
Now it's time for Cassidy's Audacity. He doesn't follow the rules. Off color.
So, this week for the Audacity.
Oh, this is actually the Audacity segment?
I don't know. Why not?
That's what it was supposed to have been.
Yeah, I mean, I came up with it, so...
All right.
Fuck.
It's all you, man.
Fuck you. Okay.
Yeah.
So, this week on The Audacity, we're going to talk about something that's pretty much outside of the game, which is what I always like to talk about, because who likes playing, or who likes talking about a game you play, right? We're going to talk about art. And specifically for me, I want to talk about cards that got new art that suck. You know, they had original art that's classic, you love it, and then when you see the new art, you're just like, yeah, we're going to talk about art that cards get reprinted, you know, they get new art, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes the old art is classic and the new art sucks, and you feel it's like an affront to Magic, and...
I never feel like it's an affront to Magic.
Well, I mean, how about this? You feel like if you open up a booster and get that version, it's almost like not having the real card, you know? It's like not even worth playing, you know what I mean? Balls. Balls to the face. Sean is gone. Okay.
Okay. Sean will be back soon, hopefully. If he's not, then, you know.
Who cares?
He can always...
Yeah. He didn't really have a lot to add to this segment anyway.
Probably not. Actually, I was relying on him to, like, carry the entire show for the rest of the life of it, so, you know, this could be a problem. Anyways, I'll start off with the card I think is really, really dumb to be reprinted with new art, and that is going to be Stuffy Doll. You know, it's probably on everyone's mind because it's been reprinted in the new set. And if you look at the M13 version... it's kind of got the Scarecrow look, like, from Shadowmoor, you know? Is he going back? Yeah.
I just added him back to the
card. Oh, okay. All right. So that's the...
Didn't work.
Okay. Well, that's the Stuffy Doll from Shadowmoor. Or it looks like a card from Shadowmoor, rather. I'm all distracted here. But if you look at the old art for Mr. Stuffy Doll, which would be from Time Spiral, if I'm not mistaken... And I'm probably not.
No, it's from the Time Spiral block.
Yeah. That's actually from Time Spiral, so. It's a rare from Time Spiral. If you look at it, it is the classic Stuffy Doll from cards such as the Black Vice and the Rack. And anyone who ever played Magic back in the day will remember the Black Vice because I think it's banned in Vintage. Oh, it's banned in Legacy. There you go. It's hard to remember because it was just type 1.5 when I started. I forget they're the same thing. But so look at like the old art from Black Vice, and it's the Stuffy Doll getting cranked in a vice filled with teeth, basically, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's classic. Everyone loves that card. And then the Rack is pretty much the same story. Whoops, I didn't even spell that fucker right. The Rack. So the Rack was actually made in Antiquities and not in the beta sets. It's the opposite of the Black Vice, basically, and yet again, we have the Stuffy Doll getting his,
balls back.
Yeah, he's getting torn apart at the sack there, literally. And so anyone who's played the game for, like, a long time, like, knows the symbolism behind these cards, and that's why, like, when I came back into the game and I found out they actually made the Stuffy Doll, I was like, hell yeah, that's so sweet. Like, that art is awesome. You know, it's just the Stuffy Doll. It's so nostalgic. I mean, that was the whole point, right? It's got way more shit drawn on it this time than in the older pictures, it looks like. But it's because
like, this is Time Spiral, so it's like, over the years, this poor Stuffy Doll has had so much shit done to it that it's just like, fuck it now.
I don't see any stitches where it got his crotch ripped, but you can definitely see the holes from where the vice was punching it, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like how I wanted to lead this segment. Just talking about how I think the new one, well, it does kind of like tie together to the new artifact theme, I guess, from like, the Scarecrows and stuff. It kind of looks like that shit. Looks like a Shadowmoor art, kind of. I really wish they would have stuck with this Stuffy Doll because I think the art's awesome. Every time I see this one, I'm like, yeah, but I only have the new one. So I'm like, I took it out of my deck even. Like, I just look at it, I'm like, you're not nearly as cool for some reason, you know? And I wish I could find someone that would trade me one of those for the new one. That would be sweet. And that's kind of where I wanted to go with this. So, I mean, I don't know how much you guys have to say about this. I also have some tweets that I'm going to read from people because I did the social media thing like a whore. So that was nice.
Yeah. So What you're trying to say is, like, what, do you actually want the new stuffy the old art, or the old one?
No,
he wants the old one.
Yeah, I want the old one, just to clarify, I hate the new one.
Okay. Now, a lot of people talk about the new one looking like it's a pretty big creature. Because, like, if you look at the angle from the artwork for the new one, it actually has, like, an upwards angle, and that's usually used for, like, monstrous creatures like giants and titans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular artwork, like, if you look to, like, the right of the stuffy doll, there's actually, like, a skull. Sean just yelled, fuck.
You don't need to read from the chat anytime somebody says something. Yeah.
No, just, like, it just popped up on my actual monitor. I didn't, like, read from the chat. So, like, my computer wanted me to know that.
Do we want to try to add him again real quick? Oh, there.
Looks like he's back.
Are you back?
Are you trying to add me again?
Yeah. Nope.
There you go. So, yeah, we're just starting to talk about the stuffy doll artwork. The new one versus the old one. And, but like I was saying, like, people think that the new stuffy doll is actually a pretty big creature because you get the upward angle look.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you look to the right of them, you actually see the size of, like, a human skull. But more likely someone's going to argue and say it's probably, like, the skull of, like, a titan or something.
He's 1.5 skulls high.
You know, go ahead.
It's like 3 apples.
It's like Chuck.
We're complaining
right
about them ruining.
Are you
the
talking
artwork?
About the Hello Kitty?
Yeah.
No, wait, hold on. Did you just do a Hello Kitty reference on Off Color Cast, Christian?
That's the Smurfs, buddy.
Wait.
Okay.
What do you know about all this Hello Kitty shit?
Just curious, what the hell would a Hello Kitty reference be, and how would you know?
Yeah, how would you know?
Is that a show?
How would it be possible to identify such a thing?
I have a daughter, and I actually have to explain to her, like, the various things about Hello Kitty.
She's, like, 2 months old.
Yeah, and the thing is, I actually have a whole bunch of Hello Kitty stuff, and I've actually gotten to the point where I had to learn about this Hello Kitty stuff. And I actually sell it at my toy store, too.
So that'll my follow-up question. Is Hello Kitty still a thing?
Yeah, actually it is. It's a huge thing. I have, like, I work at a toy store, and I sell toys all day, every day.
Nice.
And what ends up happening is that I actually have, like, 3 sections. Like, not, like, you know, like a small, like, front area, like an end cap. I mean, like, no, like, an entire wall panel, an entire floor panel, and then, like, still side panels of various other sections that have Hello Kitty, like, just laced throughout the fucking thing.
Damn.
And, like, every couple of months, it just comes in with brand new product and brand new merchandise. And we had to actually learn what the hell was so special about her. And, like, the description they had about her involves her height being something like 3 apples or some shit like that. And I was like, really?
That's some copyright infringement there.
Yeah.
We did the Japanese, so they always get away with actually trying to say they did it first. I mean, like, you know, just think about, like, Ring, Godzilla, Horn.
I'm betting that there's even probably some, like, 3 apple reference in, like, some old-ass, like, Tom Thumb type thing.
Talking about the crazy Japanese, do you guys notice that Stuffy Doll has a bowl haircut? What's up with that shit? The new one.
Yeah. He does kind of look like a big, scary, like, Asian troll, doesn't he?
I don't know about big. I guess big for an Asian, right?
Well, the perspective, at least, like, you know, if we were just kind of talking about it, that'd be a weird one. You know what? It should have had the perspective like Creepy Doll. I'm just saying. That card sucks, but the art is pretty badass. So. Mm-hmm.
So then we also have Bull Hippo, which starts out needing braces really bad.
Whoa, go earlier. It does not start off needing braces.
I thought Saga was before Portal.
Follow the art back in time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Saga's before Portal.
98.
Oh, wait, Saga might be 99. Well, no, because Starter's 99, and that's before. That's before Portal, isn't
Portal,
it?
Portal says 1997 on here. So
is it? Damn
97.
It. Yep. Damn. Okay, so it begins as a hippo.
Just a regular hippo playing in the water.
Then it needs braces.
and
then who knows what the fuck it turns into in 7th edition.
And then somebody had some LSD before that one.
It does look like one of the, like, the Kamigawa, like, ancient spirits, doesn't it? Just like, kind of like arms.
Although I do love the quote on that one. The merfolk may rule the water, but hippos have never had much respect from authority. And then you look closer, and you're like, oh, that's right. He is jacking a merfolk up now, isn't he?
Oh, I just realized what that is. I was trying to figure it out.
That's the greatest use of flavor text. I wouldn't even know what this picture was of.
Yeah.
That flavor text.
If he wasn't eating a freaking If he wasn't eating a freaking merfolk, we wouldn't even
Otherwise,
know.
I would think it was some sort of spirit battle where a hippo was bursting through, like, a forest tree line or something.
I thought it was, like, a fish, like, Sahuagin type guy. Like, I was looking for that shoulder to be the eye, but now I see the merfolk. do you notice how the bull hippo is kind of, like, laying on his side like he's bored, though?
Like, yeah.
He's just like,
he's just
stop?
Playing with it, like yeah. A cat would with a mouse. Just like,
So, what did the Twitter sphere say to you, Cassidy?
Oh, yeah, let me pull that shit up, my bad. I know the biggest one was Progenitus. Like, that was the one that people were most offended by. And so this actually came from the Vault Legends, like, because that's when he got reprinted and got, oops, spell that right, Progenitize. Okay. No, fuck you. That's the Keeper of Progenitus. Fuck you. There it is. Okay.
Right.
So, okay, so we have the version from Conflux first, and that's a pretty epic picture. Let me go ahead and find out what people said. I got some people on here. You guys can talk about that first.
Man, this is like the most gripping segment we've ever done.
Like the original Progenitus basically is like, if you look at it, it's just a picture of a mountain range, and then like. Clouds, and off in the distance in the clouds, you can actually see, like,
I like to think
weird.
I like to think that if people are playing EDH, they better know what Progenitus looks like.
Well, you know, like, depending
well, maybe
on...
Maybe they've only seen the new shitty Progenitus.
That'd be pretty sweet.
That is the Rainbow Pride Progenitus, where right. Literally, it's like looking up and trying to lick a giant shaft of rainbows.
I do.
not the old, all-powerful. You don't even know how big it is. It's just so far in the distance you can't see its whole body. You can tell it's bigger than anything on the horizon, Progenitus.
Right.
Yeah. So here, I got the Twitter feed up finally. I was just looking for where it started. So actually, Beardy, Al Chaka, was the first one to reply. He said, I have to say the original Progenitus is so much more epic and ominous than the FTB one. So, I mean, that's pretty much what we were talking about right there. And then Calvin responded by saying, yeah, the new one looks like angry worms coming out of a pile of shit. So, yeah.
Talking about a pile of shit and the From the Vault Legends, anybody notice Kiki Jiki letting off a big fireball in this new picture? Just squatting down and shitting out a dragon.
Yeah. No one mentioned that on Twitter, but oh my god, it's so bad.
So pretty much any time they make one of those goony, like, turbo nerd, real Magic player arts, when they reprint it, they change the art on them. From what I've seen, right? Because Shadow Mage, Infiltrator, Meddling Mage... Wait, Shadow Mage, Infiltrator doesn't have a reprint, does it? I guess I was meaning more Meddling Mage and Solemn Sim. Because they both got rid of the ugly men that had been drawn before them and switched them up. Meddling Mage, they turned from... Creepy man to some hoe.
Oh, yeah, some black hoe.
And then Solemn Sim went from chubby robot to weird looking robot.
Yeah, that was the other one that got said. I was trying to find it, but Solemn Simulacrum was a big one.
Really? I know this might be unpopular, but I actually think the new art for it is much better looking. I mean,
yeah.
if you were to show both pieces of art to somebody who'd never played Magic before, they would cringe at Chubby Solemn.
Doesn't
and I've heard so many racist terms off of the other Solemn. They're like, oh, that's Jew Robux with his giant nose and his jowls.
Doesn't
I was
it
like,
he should be, you know, monocle?
The old one?
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know.
Like off his
it looks like, as a robot, I don't know what you need to eat to get fat, but his body is normal, but he's still got the double chin, no. So I don't know what kind of robot Twinkies he's eating to give him that double chin.
You just can't put Solemn Simulacrum, for the new one, in a yellow coat to make him Data, you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the sad robot anymore. Like, he's looking down, and he looks pensive, but also he looks like he could just be, like, hunting something in that picture, you know, he doesn't look solemn at all. And that's like, I think that's what people were complaining about, is that it's not sad robot anymore, you know?
What's weird is that in the Commander set, they went back with old Fatty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Commander set came out right
where
before.
Where it looks like a robot ate Data.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it looks like they took some chubby dude's head and, like, stapled it to a robot.
Igor Farkas also mentioned that he doesn't like the new Yavimaya Elder. Yeah, the Yavimaya Elder lost a lot of flavor. I mean, he's had so many freaking reprints, you know. Let's see here.
Yeah, I don't know what the new one is supposed to look like. Is he wearing a tree butterfly thing?
That's his that's his headdress that also has a deer coming out of it.
Yeah, it's like a druid like, thing,
and
I guess.
And a cat. Maybe I'm just not in it enough to understand.
I think that's a wolf, actually. But yeah.
And is he actually growing a tree as a beard? Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the other one where he's just kind of a mystic?
I mean, that might be a mystic to you. He just looks like a pedophile in the old art.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah, I actually got to say, I like the new one better. There's at least more to look at. The old one just looks kind of like, hey, draw a human.
The old one was back from when Magic was like, hey, draw a dude. And like, all right, here's a dude.
Yeah.
Does this look fantasy enough to you?
But also, put the old one in context. Look what it looked like next to, say, Taunting Elf. How great of a card was that art-wise? And then they reprinted it, and they somehow made it worse. Is Taunting Elf, when it got reprinted, carrying a bag of brains while an ox laughs at it? Is that what it turned into?
I've never seen that.
Speaking of elves, yeah. So, Llanowar elves.
Oh, yeah.
Llanowar elves began as the fever dream of some asshole. Honestly, who drew this thing?
Well, it tells you at the bottom of the card, dude.
Yeah, anthematic. And the bigger crime here is how long we kept using it.
Yeah. I don't really.
We decided that was fine. We're gonna stick with it. It works perfect for us.
Seventh edition. If you notice, if you go through a lot of old Magic cards, seventh edition is when they really started. For a lot of stuff, you start to see the reprints getting a different art.
Yeah.
Yeah, they changed their branding then.
Yeah.
That's when they put the new border on it, too. Where they were like, some of this stuff, this Foglio stuff, it's just not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Oh, the new border? Yeah, then they did the new frames in 8th edition, right?
Yeah. They wanted to give it more of a generic fantasy look so that it wouldn't be so off-putting to people who had never seen it before.
Yeah.
Did you notice in, like, Alpha and, like, the limited sets at the beginning, how in love all the artists were with brains?
Mm.
Just, they were fucking drawing brains on everything if they could.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were talking about people being in some haze dreams here, yeah.
Like, I always like to think that the original Llanowar Elves, that may as well just be its brain being exposed instead of whatever that helmet thing is supposed to be.
You know, I gotta say, in the new art, though, I think, like, I was gonna say this actually for the last reprint we were talking about, how just the Llanowar Elves, they just seem too badass. Oh, the Elder. They just seem way too badass for what they are, you know what I mean? Like, if you look at the...
Yeah, like,
the,
a little 1-1 elf should look like it's gonna stab you in the face.
And then it even has this, like, boss-ass, like, flavor text, one bone broken for every twig snapped underfoot. Like, that's, like, one of the most hollow threats I've ever fucking heard from a Llanowar elf. Like, hey, grizzly bear, don't snap a twig. Oh my god, I'm dead. And I didn't even make any mana. No, I mean, like, yeah, he's a druid. He doesn't look like a druid. It was the same with the elder. I think, like, the new art is kind of cooler looking. It's different. But I think you lose the flavor of the Llanowar elves here. You know, I really like the old one where it's just like these creepy ass elves are just making you mana and that's all you want them to do because they're kind of freaking you out. Like, go over there. Be a forest. You're weird.
How about when Birds of Paradise was just normal birds until 7th edition?
I always found Birds of Paradise to be such a funny thing, like how that ended up being. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Birds of Paradise in the real world is not a bird. That's a plant. That is a plant. I'm not sure why they decided to make it a bird that looked kind of like the plant, but I don't know when. Like, I wonder if that was just a mistake in art and they rolled with it forever.
I think so. Someone mana birds.
So they like to do that with stuff, you know, kind of make play on words and things like that. So I bet they probably saw Birds of Paradise, the flower, and they're like, aw, dude, that would be a fucking mind trip, dude. Yeah, and then we can draw some Llanowar elves, and they're going to be creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I think a lot of these show very well that somebody was on drugs. And, I mean, sometimes it turns out well. Like, I don't think they ever should have changed the art on Goblin King after 6th edition.
It's such a crime. That old art is so awesome.
You know, they start with the first one, which does look like somebody has had a stroke.
admittedly. Like, the alpha version is terrible.
It's awesome.
And then they move into anthologies, and they're still like, we're going to keep it. And then in sixth edition, Foglio got, like, his kind of last chance at doing anything, and it's probably my favorite art from him. It actually looks badass. Like, yeah. They should just had him keep drawing goblins forever at that point.
Dude,
But then they immediately change it. They're immediately like, nope, can't do this. We fucking can't have this guy draw for us anymore. And then it's just some generic old shriveled up thing. And, they've stuck with that ever since until 10th edition. You have Goblin King. They're just kind of a wrinkly old green dude.
Yeah, that's boring as shit. I've never actually seen that one. The 6th edition reminded me of the Max. You know, that one comic book. That reminded me of that. So, I actually like the beta version. I've always liked that kind of like a he's just yelling, like screaming at goblins and shit. He's all pissed.
Awesome. Yeah. Something I've actually got. There's only one card that I've really gotten into big art arguments with people about, and that's Brainstorm, because I think the Ice Cream Headache Brainstorm art is the best thing on earth. Most people like the masks at Brainstorm art a lot better than the Ice Age one. Which I've never been able to understand, because the Ice Age one is so legit.
Yeah.
I would go Ice Age over that. I thought you were talking about the mask one as the brain freeze one. Like,
no.
Just paying very close attention to that headache that the androgynous person is having.
The Ice Age one where he's like, I ate too much ice cream.
Yeah. Well, Cold Snap had that one, it looks like. But, that one's better just too because it looks like a storm in the background. It's just more of like a friendly play on words. Whereas, like, I swear that the one they use for masks is just like, okay, we'll have people draw like 17 different art that could be for concentrate, and then we'll just like spread them out for different cards, because it's so generic, you know what I mean?
It's the gotcha spoiler thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know which one I get into arguments about, because there's people who like the new one a lot, which I don't understand at all, is when they reprinted Animate Dead for the Premium Deck series.
Oh, yeah.
I actually like the new one.
Yeah, I've gotten because it's obviously a Sun Titan that is being reanimated, and I hate it. I don't like it at all. I don't know what's going on with that hair. The Sun Titan doesn't normally have that hair. They keep trying to do, like,
he was dead for a while.
Screaming half-skeleton face. Like, it's not really a skeleton, but we're going to try to make it look like one. And if we make one eye bigger than the other, it's going to make it seem creepy. But to me, it, again, makes it look like maybe there was some sort of brain injury in the past. And the animate's not quite going to fix that. So,
Non-foiled. Like, I've never, like, usually with these cards, they're really dark, and they're foiled really darkly, so, like, it's almost impossible to see any of the art in that set, in that box set, so, like, I've never even noticed that it's a Sun Titan, but, yeah, you're right, it is, huh? Wow.
Oh, one of my favorite art journeys is, let me make sure, Drain Life, where it's pretty lame. For a long time.
Yeah.
And then they hit 5th edition, and they're like, what the fuck? 5th edition, they're like,
Yeah, Alpha's dude's like, oh, the person's kind of napping, we'll keep him. This seems like everybody knows what we're talking about. And then Mirage came around, and they're like, Richard Kane Ferguson, so that nobody will understand what the hell is going on.
Maybe
somebody was trying to wipe himself and then got into a fight. I don't know what's happening in this picture, but whatever. And then to make Richard Kane Ferguson look good and understandable, Fifth edition came along.
Yeah, it's rare when Richard Kane Ferguson is the one print that's like doesn't drive people to just like, what is the point? It's so generic. And it also looks like the guy just got pissed off and started scraping the face off. Am I right? Like, just like gets really angry at the art and just scrapes it off, and then it's like, here.
This looks like it's the art is not even half done. They were painting, they got pissed off, they threw a can of paint at the canvas, and then just turned it in. And Magic was like, "Look, we got to use something. We're obviously not spending time figuring out how the text on this should work in 5th edition, because if you read the text on this version, it doesn't make any sense. It looks like it should have been an enchantment."
Yeah,
and then we'll just stick with that. And then immediately, let's go back to what we had before. They actually used it for the beatdown box.
And the FNM, too.
No, FNM's the old one.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. They went back. They skipped. They were like, oh, those last two arts. Those were really bad.
That does actually kind of bring, like, why does Green Life have that text on the 5th edition one? That does ignore me. I'm reading that.
They got rid of
it. I was looking at
they moved the X down into the text box.
Well, yeah, it was like Natural Order had the same thing where it just gets kind of confusing, you know?
Yeah. I will say it's definitely not all bad when they redo art, though. I think what they did with White Knight was great. I'm surprised it stayed as it was for so long.
White Knight, huh? Right. I can't remember what. Oh, the new one. Yeah, just like the dude looking.
The new one's just straight up, like, way better.
Not even
comparable.
It's like the gold background and like riding on the mighty steed into the distance, as opposed to just some dude kind of like just.
It goes well for that. Don't you wish they use these good pieces of art for better cards?
Yeah. That always reminded me of a Bretonnian from Warhammer.
That's the old one, definitely.
Yeah.
Except for, like, and then there was like the Legions one where it's like, okay.
Speaking of the knights, though, I think I actually prefer the old Black Knight one for some reason. Like, that would just seem so classic. He's just looking at you like, what? The new one's all dynamic and shit. The old one's just like...
But it, like, so his horse has a bowl cut.
That's really, really in, I guess. You know, maybe they use that horse to make stuffy doll.
Yeah. You know, look at the 5th edition Black Knight, though. It's the same thing. I don't know what they were on 5th edition. Look at how angry his horse is.
This is a great segment for everyone listening at home that doesn't have a computer in front of them.
That's because his horse is actually screaming out in pain because he's wearing so much fucking armor that the horse's back snapped.
Calvin, was there any specific art that you would not want to talk about before we finish this up?
The only magic art... I actually wanted to talk about the art for myself mainly was Naturalize, because I've actually kind of liked the way that it's like grown over the years. Like, what was it? When it was in Onslaught, it was basically just like this dude in the middle of the woods holding a green sword. I had no idea what the fucking art was for.
I think that's Kamal.
Kamal.
He's stabbing a plant because that plant needs to know who's boss.
Right.
No, Kamal's giving up his old gladiator ways.
Yeah, that's him becoming the Fist of Krosa.
Yeah.
And what was it? But the thing is like, I've noticed, like, with Naturalize, it's like one of the cards that basically appears in just about every set now. Mm-hmm. And almost every time it shows up now, it has like a new art. Like the one where it's like the M13 one is basically like what is it?
It's the same one as the Innistrad one.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it?
Well, except that they used that stupid, like, breaking Christmas ornament thing. Does anybody know what the hell that was trying to be? That's like, oh, man, you know Karn Silver Golem or his brother the Copper Golem? Well, one of his nuts fell off, and now we have a plant growing out of it. So that's what we're going to use for Naturalize.
But
they also changed the artwork for when they did, Rise of Eldrazi, and they showed, I think it's like an elf.
I think what we're realizing is that Naturalize likes to be very flavorful for the block it's in.
Yeah, or the
last except for in Alara, because I have no idea what the fuck it's breaking then.
Is that Gargoyle?
I told you. Oh, that one is supposed to be a. It looks like a white dog shit, but I think it's supposed to be an emblem of Nicol Bolas or something.
The idol. Yeah. Or something, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That is the worst art for it, though. It is tentacle sex on dog poop. That is what that art is.
And everyone knows that tentacle sex on dog poop is the worst.
Right.
By the way, what the hell was up with Alara in tentacle sex? Did you notice if you look at the Naya art, like, look at Naya Battle Mage for a second, and ask yourself how that got printed for children.
I kind of want to see this now. Oh. There's that other one, the red one, Earthbound, right?
Yeah, that one was a while ago.
That's from
forever. I'm just talking about, like, in the Alara block. Like, why were tentacles... And how does that have anything to do with her ability? She can tap a creature. I guess she's getting tapped right there.
Yeah,
that's
she's
what
getting tapped
to
right there.
Or a target, she gets +2/+0. But apparently, to gain that ability, she has to let the forest have their way with her. And it's like, I've trained in all three schools of magic. All three. Because she can't count to five.
Actually, this
well, I don't know what she has to do to get the other two.
Naya Buttermage is basically suffering from that scene from, what was it, Evil Dead? Where the tree just, like, grabs the chick and drags her out and just kind of deals with her out in the field.
You know what's funny is that they actually filmed that after they were done with the movie.
They're like, for the fun of it.
They're like, oh, we need to add a scene. How about we have a tree bang a woman?
Hey, that's what they did for Naya Battle Mage, so it worked for them too, huh?
Yeah, anything Steve Argyle makes, let's be honest, that guy, he likes women on cards.
Well, now I'm going to have to look at all the Steve Argyle art, because...
He did the alternate Blood Braid, he did Blood Throne Vampire, he did the new Liliana, the Chosen of Markov. Basically anything recently where you were like, why is that snake wrapped around that woman? Deadly Allure, that's him, of course. If it's got a lot of cleavage in it, there's a good chance Argyle got his hands on it.
Man, I'm surprised he didn't make Damia look, like, way hotter.
Yeah, no, I mean, he did Ghoul Draws Vampire upside down and, you know, face down, ass up for the world. So...
He also did Trial of Lara.
Damia got off. Yep. Ooh. And, of course, most notably, Liliana of the Veil was probably the biggest card he's done.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I chose Markov.
At least boob-wise.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a trend when you look at his stuff. However his views of vampires and the undead are, apparently he likes them quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so if you're having a bit of a lonely time there, kids at home, just search up Steve Argyle art, and you'll see... And he even does it with cats.
And Glissa.
Even that, what was it, the instant, the white instant from Stars of Mirrodin has
the
cat just
with the boobs.
Just jumping at you.
Yeah. Seize the initiative. Boobs!
Yeah, boobs. Oh, and Killing Wave, too.
Nice. All right, kids, so if there's any art you don't like, why don't you email the show at offcolorguys@gmail.com. Bam, done. All right, let's finish this bad boy up.
Oh, Liliana of the Veil.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful people, thanks for surviving episode 26 of Off Color Cast. We had a good old time. I hope you did too, listening. This is Chris. I'm on the internet elsewhere, I guess. Christian Renault at Twitter. If you want to email me, email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Me and Calvin look at it all the time. Sean, why don't you say goodbye, talk about things, all that jazz. Yeah.
All right. If you really want to hear from me, get on Twitter. Follow me at Swords to Plow. Yeah, that's about it. Everything will be about this content, Phil, so be prepared.
Hung up the rap game. That's what I'm hearing here. Cassidy, why don't you also say goodbye?
Well, goodbye, everyone. excuse me. Again, check out the articles on TCGPlayer.com in the magic section or whatever, every Thursday and Friday or so. And, I'm at Writer of Wrong on the Twittertron there. And I'm going to give my props to Steve Argyle. That's it for this week.
All right. Steve Boobs Argyle.
Yeah,
okay,
Steve
Calvin.
The Boobs.
Take us on home, Calvin.
All right, everybody. This is Calvin, also known as Captain Resin on the internet. If you're looking for me, you can find me in the emails of offcolorcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at Captain Red Zone. There's the Facebook group, the Off Color Cast Facebook group over there. You can also comment on the website. If you really just feel like going deep into, like, my previous works, you can check out, like, I guess, creaturethefaced.com, if that's what you're into. Want to see something I've actually done, like, what, it's been months and I haven't touched that site, but still, it's still there. It's still there, like the watery grave that it actually has become. Yeah, aside from that, yeah, swing by the website. We've got a bunch of new content that's going to be up there this week, at least Monday, and this Friday coming.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Check out Beardy Plays, too.
Yeah, Beardy Plays. It's over there. It's in the sidebar. Yeah, when he first put it up, I was having difficulties, but I've been around, tweaked it, got it there, it's working. You're going to see it all.
There you go, people. Do it.
And he also said that if we mention the show enough times, he'll show us his breast, so...
Well, I don't want to see that.
Wow.
Just want to make sure that, you know, in case the listeners want to know, like, if you want to see Beardy Blades breast, mention it, and we'll see if we can get a picture of that sent out to you.
Yeah, just put it above the picture of Christian's dong. Okay, well, that's enough of that shit.
Hogan. There we go. I've realized I haven't done, like, a wrestling reference for this week yet, so I have to toss something in there.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Yeah, we're all wrestled out.
All right. Goodbye, folks.
Yep. See y'all later.
Peace.
All right.